Beyond Course.
And welcome to KRAWLP. I'm Rachel Cunningham, and today we are continuing our series of conversations with candidates for Wyoming Superintendent of Public Instruction. Our guest today is Chad Auer. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So before we dive in, I just want to let listeners know that we're asking all the candidates for this office the same question. So our goal is to help Wyoming voters really understand where each candidate stands on the issues. So let's get started. The Superintendent of Public Instruction oversees K-12 education for Wyoming's roughly 90,000 students. For listeners who may not know, what does that office actually do, and why did you decide to run?
Well, I appreciate that question, and I think it's important that voters understand what the office actually does, and so let's dive into that. Let me start by saying what it's not. It is not a bonus legislator. This is an executive branch agency leadership role, and essentially the Superintendent of Public Instruction oversees and manages the Wyoming Department of Education and is responsible also for administration of standards, assessment, and accountability systems in collaboration with the State Board of Education, but also is tasked with shepherding federal programs like providing services to students with special needs and disabilities. It's a very collaborative effort in the state of Wyoming. Therefore, it requires not just a knowledge of the policymaking process, but like I said before, a knowledge and understanding of the role of the executive branch and an executive branch agency. Part of the reason that, or another part of your question there was why I decided to run. And this is an important part I think voters should know is that I decided to run because I think Wyoming is often faced with a false choice. That is, when it comes to education policy, Wyoming voters are forced to say, well, we're either going to just embalm the status quo and just keep doing what we've always done, or completely dismantle the public school system. And I think both of those options are bad options. I think that the better option is to stand on our strong foundation, but also reach to the future with courage and with optimism and thoughtfully implement innovations in a way that improves learning for all of our kids around the state. Again, I'm leaning on my background in educational leadership at the classroom, school, district, and state level, as well as serving most recently as a policy advisor to Governor Gordon. I understand the role of the state superintendent. I understand how it fits in the ecosystem of education. I also understand how important it is for Wyoming to have a real choice moving forward.
My next question is, Wyoming ranks basically in the top 10 states in the country for fourth and eighth grade reading and math. What would be your priorities in the first year to address student achievement?
Yeah, student achievement is obviously the core of what we are tasked to do when it comes to public education. That's our mission. So for me, one of my top priorities will be to engage in and cultivate a crucial conversation about our standards, assessment, and accountability system in Wyoming, because I think that we're ready to modernize that and make it relevant for kids today, because they're going to be entering into a rapidly changing and very dynamic geopolitical marketplace. And we need to rethink our stack of standards. Currently, we have a really tall stack, and individually, those standards, they're very noble, but the stack is what is, in my opinion, pushing out room. It's pushing out any innovation or creativity in the classroom level. You know, Americans and Wyoming folks, educators by nature, are creative. We're problem solvers. And when we have an overburdened system and overburdened by too many standards, we're p- pushing out that American ingenuity. And Wyoming deserves to have a smaller stack, focused stack of standards. We do need to have some standards, but want to focus on literacy and math proficiency. That'll be quickly followed up by realigning our assessment system, an assessment system that provides parents and educators real-time data to make real education decisions that benefit kids in real time. And that seems to be an easy task, particularly in 2026. And then finally, that accountability system, I would like us to reorient that part of the three-pronged approach here and really replace accountability with support. So we would have standards, assessment, and support. So the Department of Education could then be oriented as a thought partner and a support mechanism to school districts that are, again, trying to fulfill this mission of giving kids a relevant public education that will benefit them, help them be adaptable and employable from the day after graduation.
So you're really saying that your priorities are about standards, assessment, and support. That's great, Chad. Thanks. So my next question is, rural school districts are a big part of, you know, Wyoming landscapes. So some of them have very few students, very limited resources. So how would you approach the funding equity between the larger districts of, say, like Natrona and Laramie County with the small rural ones?
Yeah, that's a very good question too, because particularly in Wyoming, we have, it's important to realize an economy of scale. You know, education as an enterprise has just some baseline costs, and it's certainly the curricular instructional program in the classroom, but now it is even more than that. It's SROs, it's all things related to school safety, school counselors, the arts, career and technical education instruction, mental health, and in some cases, providing nutritional services to kids or supports to families. So it's a very dynamic and diverse enterprise, public education. But to your point, how do we pull that off in rural communities? It can be challenging. Wyoming is currently going through and just finished a part of our recalibration, our school funding conversation, how we're going to fund our schools. And I just want to say from the beginning is that that is always a difficult conversation. It's a difficult task to figure out how much are we going to invest in our public schools? And if we do invest in them, what's the return on that investment? What are we expecting from our public school system? I say all of that to get to this point is that our rural schools deserve as much support as do our larger communities. And making that happen requires pretty sophisticated algorithms and formulas to make sure that all of our kids are meeting that or getting our constitutional requirement of a complete and uniform curricular instructional program. It's difficult. Bottom line, it's difficult because costs are rising, cost of goods and services, and we also have the imperative to create facilities and maintain those facilities for kids. And and then we have human capital strategy costs. We just have to be willing to have the tough conversations about funding, and then we also need to recognize that no matter what number we arrive on, there's always going to be some people who think it's too much and others are going to say it's not enough. I would like us to, rather than run to the courts to settle our differences or our differences of opinion on funding, I would rather us just recognize the fact that it's a tough conversation, that we have a duty to support our schools, whether they're in Natrona County, Laramie County, or in Niobrara County, or even our other small districts. We have a duty to provide adequate resources for those kids. And we also have a duty to be creative and innovative on how we deliver. The future has a lot of interesting and very promising technologies that can help us deliver that on that mission without huge marginal costs, and we need to embrace that. So so whether kids in Lusk or in Laramie County, they're all having a shot at the future.
Absolutely. Or Meteetse.
Right.
They all deserve equitable funding. All right. So my next question is, there's a significant debate in Wyoming and nationally, really, around curriculum. You know, things like how history is taught, library materials, parental rights are definitely at the forefront of education. So how do you think the superintendent's role in those conversations should be?
Well, in Wyoming, we are a local control state. And what that means is that the bulk of the decision-making power when it comes to the delivery of curricular instruction, of public education generally, is entrusted to local communities through their local school boards, parental involvement, community involvement, you know, educators, everybody sitting around the table, shoulder to shoulder with their sleeves rolled up, having difficult conversations about how to what curricular programs are going to be used. And by the way, the state constitution and by statute, the state superintendent is prohibited from dictating a curriculum. That is absolutely protected local control decision. The state superintendent, in collaboration with the state school board, does work, or state board of education, does work on standards and assessment. And then also the implementation of the accountability system, which, again, I'd like to reorient to a support system. But again, that curricular program is chiefly the decision of local folks. So I think that the state superintendent needs to take the opportunity to engage in those conversations. If invited, have a seat at the table in those local communities to talk about areas of improvement, talk about areas of strength, talk about opportunities, etc. But it needs to be an invited conversation, and it needs to be, the state superintendent needs to be very respectful of local control.
So really getting to the heart of Wyoming communities and having that conversation with the folks in that town.
Absolutely.
Okay, so teacher recruitment and retention. It's a challenge across the country, Chad. So Wyoming has faced it immensely. What specifically would you do to attract and keep good teachers in the state?
Yeah, this is a very important part of our reality right now, 2026, and probably will be for the foreseeable future. The state superintendent of public instruction, again, plays an influential role in our teacher recruitment and retention program or policy. As state superintendent, there's a couple of things that I think about, but when teachers are respected, they will stay. When they are fairly compensated, they will stay. When they're given the support that they need to be excellent educators, they'll also want to stay, and they'll also want to teach in Wyoming. So I, as a state superintendent, intend to carry that tone and preach that message out there. I also intend to, and I've talked with superintendents and educational leaders, I will go to teacher recruitment fairs with them, and I will recruit the best educators to either stay in Wyoming if they're already here, or attract them from other jurisdictions to come to Wyoming. Because what I want teachers to know in Wyoming and across the country is that if you are passionate about making a difference in kids' lives, and if you want to be a creative, innovative teacher, and you want to be respected and supported, Wyoming has a classroom for you. I want to make sure that every educator in America knows that Wyoming is a great place to be an educator, whether you're just starting or whether you're in the middle of your career or maybe you're at the end of your career. Wyoming has got a place for you. But another part of the answer to that question is, and I've been spending a lot of time working with and in conversation with the University of Wyoming and prospective educators, you know, students who are wanting to become teachers, and I've been talking to them about how important it is to to consider Wyoming as a place for them to start and end their careers. I'd love them to be our best teachers to stay here in Wyoming. And it is about recruitment. It is about retention. And it's also probably most importantly from a state superintendent's perspective, it's about tone. It's about telling the good stories about Wyoming schools, telling educators why Wyoming is a place for them, and being unapologetically optimistic about Wyoming's public education system.
I think teachers would really appreciate the pay part and the respect part. They definitely deserve it. My next question. So Wyoming has faced a significant vocational and career technical education. They have a significant vocational and career technical education tradition. So how do you see CTE fitting into the future of Wyoming public schools?
Yeah, this is also a very good question, and it's an important question for Wyoming, particularly because of the basket of goods. You know, that's the term we use to say, well, of all the things we could teach, what should we teach? In my opinion, and I said this at the CTE conference last week, I think it was last week, our basket of goods is not complete if we do not have career and technical education as a part of that basket of goods. We have to, and frankly, the marketplace that our kids are entering is demanding that kids have access to. They don't all have to go through CTE program, but they have to have access to the opportunity to engage in career and technical education opportunities. I'll be very, very candid with you about this, like, and very concrete. We need electricians, we need plumbers, we need HVAC folks, we need folks with entry-level medical career skills and micro-credentials. We need technology skills and experiences. We need apprenticeship programs in K through 12 so that in addition to mastering knowledge and skills in the core curriculum, when kids graduate from Wyoming's public schools, they also have career and technical education experiences in their pocket.
Yes, we need the plumbers. We need somebody to fix my dishwasher. Thanks, Chad. One more question. So what would you say a parent in, say, a small town like Rollins or Pinedale, who's wondering whether their kids are getting, you know, a quality education compared to, say, kids in a larger Wyoming city, what would you say to that?
Yeah, I think that in the past, geography played a bigger role and frankly was a bigger barrier to the quality of education that kids would experience, particularly in rural communities. But technology now has the potential to break down those geographical barriers. So we have to thoughtfully, and this is something the state superintendent can do, but not by themselves. The state superintendent needs to be working with educators and local communities, as well as business, frankly, and industry leaders and technology leaders. We need to figure out ways to thoughtfully embrace and leverage innovations so that whether kids are, you know, I mean, they might be in a one-room schoolhouse in a very rural part of Wyoming working calving season, or maybe they're in downtown Cheyenne, they all can have access to the highest quality curricular instructional programming through various technologies. Now, am I saying that kids need to be on the computer 24/7 or at least all the majority of their time in classroom? No, absolutely not. But if we thoughtfully embrace the potential that many of these technologies are giving us, we're going to propel Wyoming's K through 12 system way out in front of the pack. And, you know, I just want to say one more thing before I leave off this question is that the world is doing this. There are places in the world that traditionally were not able, they did not have access to quality curricular instructional programming, but through technology, thoughtful technology, kids all over the globe are having access to this. So if they are, why not Wyoming? I think that we absolutely can stand on our firm foundation in Wyoming, and we can also courageously look to the future and leverage those technologies to benefit our kids.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. You know, Wyoming is definitely ahead of the pack when it comes to technology, and to leverage that would be a huge advantage. Okay, Chad, so we have some questions now that are sent in by some parents of kids in Wyoming. Definitely a hot spot. So this next question is about sports. So do you find sports programs or academics more important?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think that if I have to choose, I think I would choose the academic knowledge and skills, but I don't think that we should have to choose. My opinion on that is that, you know, our kids, our families, Wyoming generally, well, our educators deserve to have a very diverse curricular instructional program. And that includes athletics and extracurricular activities. In fact, I don't even really like the word extracurricular. I think they're curricular activities. They look differently than algebra, but they're not, they're just as valuable, I should say. So, particularly looking ahead, looking to the future, if we are going to provide a diverse curricular instructional program to our kids, one that's relevant to them looking to the future, not looking to the past, but looking to the future, we have to recognize the fact that a diverse curricular instructional program that includes all kinds of different opportunities for kids is a part of the mission of public education. Wyoming is in a really strong and unique position to show America how to fulfill that mission, in my opinion.
Thanks. Yeah. And so with that, you mentioned academics, and yes, all of sports should be a part of it too, if that's the option. But how do you plan to make sure that both receive adequate funding for both the large and the small schools alike?
Yeah, no, that's that. Thank you for that follow-up. So, you know, the recent recalibration bill had what's become known as this instructional silo. And while that was great and virtuous when it comes to educator compensation, what it's come at the expense of is local control. And local control meaning the ability for local communities to develop a curricular instructional program that meets the needs of those local communities, those kids. So, all of that to say this is that the way to ensure that local districts are meeting the needs of local kids and families is to empower local districts, not silo them. So I think for me, that would be an important agenda item. An important priority for me is to, you know, the answer to the question is in empowering local communities and adequately funding them. There's no doubt. But again, it gets back to what we were talking about before. There's some economies of scale that larger school districts are going to enjoy. They're going to just have more funds that they can, in certain scenarios, they can be more flexible in. They'll have a lot more flexibility when we get rid of the silo. But those local or those smaller school districts simply don't have those economies of scale. So, as state superintendent, I recognize those challenges, and I think that that's why I will advocate for restoring and empowering local control. And control maybe isn't even the right word. It's like local creativity, local responsibility, local
decision making,
right? And does it mean that we run the risk of having local bad decisions? Well, of course it does, but there's never a guarantee that everything we do is going to be perfect. The point is, are we getting better all the time? And when we take away decision-making authority or we take away power and agency at the local level, we go in the wrong direction, in my opinion.
Okay, thank you for that. Here's another one sent in by a parent of Wyoming kids. Where do you stand on Wyoming high school students being endorsed by brand names?
Ooh, that's a tricky one. I haven't had that one. Well, let's see. I remember, so here's an old, this is show my age a little bit. I remember all this controversy about having like Pepsi or Coca-Cola or somebody else sponsor your scoreboard and all the drama that was related to that. And, you know, on one hand, administrators were excited to get some financial support, probably not so excited to get all the drama that came with it. But I guess on Friday nights or in during basketball games or whatever, people were pretty happy to have a fancy scoreboard. Maybe the drama was worth it. I'm concerned, I'll be honest with you, about the influence of, like, at the collegiate level, there's a name, image, likeness and the transfer portal, and it's really changed what collegiate athletics looks like. To be very candid, I'm kind of glad Josh Allen was in Wyoming before this, because we may not have been able to keep him here. So taking that same concern into your question is that I think we need to be really careful. I understand it's tempting, and the temptation might be just so great to get an infusion of finance, of funding into education, and we're always looking for help. But I just think we need to be careful. Kids participating in sports or extracurricular, again, I don't love the word extracurricular, but those types of activities is really important. We want to keep them as clean as we can, and we want to provide as many opportunities as we can for those kids. And I don't know, maybe that's a non-answer to that question. I'm just cautious. Let's say that. I'm cautious.
All right. Brand names. Okay. Moving on to back to a little hot spot with teaching history. So do you feel that Wyoming schools should focus more on teaching Wyoming's history? Because that's generally done in the fourth grade. And what makes, or focus more on what makes Wyoming who and what we are as general American history? Where do you think the focus should be?
Yeah, I am a big fan and proponent of kids learning history. And, in fact, one of my favorite things about working for Governor Gordon, who is a historian, he loves history. He likes to read books about history. And I just used to, when I worked for Governor Gordon, loved our conversations about different books that he was reading or historical stories. History is such an important part of our fabric. You know, our Western souls are, we're going to lose them, our Western soul, if our kids don't learn American history and also Wyoming history, Western history. So I'm a big fan. I think that kids should have access to, and they should be engaged in learning history. I'm concerned about history education in our country and certainly here in Wyoming. I'm concerned not because I feel like we're doing a bad job. I'm just concerned that if we don't remain focused on teaching history to our kids, we're going to lose our souls. And we can't afford to do that. Part of the mission of public education, education generally, is to equip kids for the responsibility of living in our republic. Our republic is predicated on the idea that people will engage, they'll roll up their sleeves and be a part of self-governance. It's not easy. We can't do that effectively if we don't teach our kids history, Wyoming history and American history.
Yeah, history really is the fabric of being an American. All right, so the next question sent in, do you feel that the school system should educate middle and high school students regarding the body changes? Well, let's back up a little bit. How about, let me ask you, can you talk about your position on health education first?
Yeah, I sense we're going into sensitive waters here. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
health education. Health education is incredibly important. We need to, again, we're talking about that basket of goods, and the basket's getting full. but health education is a part of it. We need to understand how to be healthy people. We need to teach kids the importance of things like diet and exercise and all of the all of the things that are important to living healthy lives. After all, we're stewards of our bodies, and we need to teach kids how to do that. Did you want to get into the next part of the question?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's go into more sensitive areas here. So do you feel that the school system should educate middle and high school students regarding their body changes? I mean, that they're going through and increase, and would you support increasing or decreasing the funding on this? These are questions that are sent in by parents. They want to know.
Yeah, those are important questions. So I think that this is tugging at an important tension that public education lives in. And that tension is, you know, where is the boundary between parental rights and prerogative versus what is the proper role of public schools, you know, educators? And I'm going to just say that I'm going to start by saying that I think all sides of that tension have good intentions. However, I do think that the best case scenario is that certainly schools play a role in talking about student or health of our bodies and growth and development. And that may include things like sex education.
Oh, and, that's my next question.
Okay, yeah, it may include those types of things, but we can never do those things in isolation or in place of parental prerogative. So these are domains of parents, in my view, and if education does go into those areas, it needs to be done, again, with the permission and in full transparency with parents. And, you know, if parents want to select out of certain pieces and parts of that, I think that they should have the right to do that. You know, I've had a lot of good conversations, frankly, on the campaign trail with various community groups and parents. And, you know, there's a lot of opinions on where that line is. But for me, I believe that the line is we need to draw the line in such a way where parental prerogative is preserved and respected and honored throughout sort of that whole curricular instructional part there about student health, growth and development, as well as sex education and all these other things. And frankly, the further we get into those issues, the higher the scale is tilted more in favor of the parents. I mean, it's already tilted there, but in my view, the more controversial we get there, we need to defer to parents and respect and honor their prerogative.
Yeah, you really hit on parental rights, and that was my next question that you already answered in there, your stance on sex education. So thank you for answering that as well. That's where I was going.
All right.
Well, the questions from the parents, of course. So the next one is from a parent, is how do you feel about public versus private schools?
Yeah, I think that, so, I mean, let's zoom out and think about education, not just public education, but education generally for the entire nation. I think that private schools are an important part of the ecosystem. I think that there's a rightful place in the system of education for private schools. There are a lot of private schools that are religious based, you know, like Catholic schools, or there's just a whole spectrum of those. And in America, I think that people should have the right to start or create, maintain, provide private school opportunities for kids. Zooming in now into Wyoming, we have some private schools. And I think that one of the things that's important for private schools is that they are protected to fulfill their unique mission as they're carving it out. I think that's important. It's also important to understand that not everybody wants to or can afford to or endeavors to go to a private school. And then again, thinking about Wyoming, we have private school options for folks, and I think if they choose that, they should be able to do that.
So do you really think that we should have a voucher system that allows parents to choose where that money is distributed if they want their children to attend private school?
I love that. That's where I was going to head here, is that I think that it's important that we have a, a strong line, and our state constitution talks about, I think it's our Article 7, Section 8, or I think it's 8, but it talks about how important it is to draw that line, that public dollars should not be sent to private schools. And again, that's constitutional. That's not Chad. That's constitutional. So we have the Steamboat Scholarship Program that is tugging at that boundary right now, and the courts are going to have to decide. I'm not a judge. I'm not qualified to be a judge on the Supreme Court or any other court, but I will say that we have some choices to make, I guess, but we also have an obligation to honor the Constitution. And if the courts, now let me say this, as state superintendent, if the courts decide that the Steamboat Scholarship Program is constitutional, well, then my job as a state superintendent will be to effectuate that law. Regardless of my personal opinions, my job is to make sure that that program is implemented to the letter of the law, integrity, fidelity, etc. But let's back out a little bit again and just talk about the difference or that line between public and private education. In America, we went all in on this idea that we're going to provide a public education to everybody, no matter race, gender, socioeconomic status, disability, religious, persuasion or whatever. We went all in on this thing of public education, which I'm a fan of. I think that's one of the things that sets America apart from every other nation. So we need to make sure that our public school system is strong, and that it's, when people are looking for options, I think our American public school system, our Wyoming public schools, should be so strong that people want to choose them. And I also think that there's a line when it comes to public dollars. Public dollars should have some accountability attached to them. I think that's fair. Taxpayers should want to know how those dollars are being spent. And so, in the event that public dollars would go to what would be considered a private situation, you know, accountability is completely appropriate. I will say just one more thing on this. I know we're probably getting a little long, is that I've talked to a lot of homeschool families, parents, and I ask them, I say, on one hand, I understand that you would be interested in receiving the Steamboat Scholarship because it would financially be helpful. But are you worried about strings being attached? Because then that important boundary between homeschool and public education starts to get blurred. And I haven't found a single one. They all say, yeah, they're concerned. It's tempting for the financial boost. And there's some philosophical arguments to be made there. You know, they're taxpayers, so why shouldn't they have access to some money to help with their education? I understand and appreciate those arguments, but I also understand there's an important line between public and private education, and you know, public dollars need to stay in the public side, in my opinion. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be innovative. Let me be real clear about that. We absolutely need to be innovative, but we just need to respect that boundary.
Yeah, so when it comes to the voucher system, it's really about, you're saying, about having choice, but really making public schools in Wyoming the strongest so they don't choose anything else. That's what you're saying. Okay, so next question is, what's your position? Virtual school is becoming a thing in Wyoming. So what's your position on Wyoming public and private virtual schools?
Sure, yeah. One of the stops on my career journey was in the virtual education, online education realm. And I mean, this was way back when it wasn't cool. This is way back. But I will say this, that virtual schools or online schools, online curricular and instructional programs, they have a lot of upsides. We have the ability to individualize instruction for kids. We have the ability to be mobile. Anywhere there's an internet connection, kids can have access to that curricular instructional program. So I'm not afraid of virtual schools or online schools, as long as they're a complement to the overall curricular instructional program. I don't know, maybe it goes without say, but I think there's a place on the menu of options for virtual and online schools. But I think that this one size fits all mentality, a lot of times what happens is that people who are big proponents of traditional neighborhood public schools, or people who are proponents of maybe a charter school or maybe an online school, we quickly fall into this idea that, well, this is the only way to do it. And that's just, in my opinion, that's going one step too far. Let's just recognize that a diverse menu of options is good. Our particular preferred menu option might serve us well, but we also need to recognize that the state of Wyoming, or even if we zoom out, the country deserves a diverse menu. It's not about one option over the other. It's about a lot of different options. There's room for a lot of options, in my opinion. And frankly, the future is demanding that we have a lot of options.
So really having virtual as a menu of options for one of the ways students can get educated in Wyoming. Well, let's turn to now like brick and mortar schools. Are you willing to work with brick and mortar schools on balancing, say, sports programs for the virtual students so they get equal opportunities to participate?
Yeah, I think I that's a great question. Let me start by saying this, is that one of the difficulties in being innovative is that our system doesn't like to change. We've built a system that in such a way that it resists whiplash and big changes, which is for the safety of the system in one sense, right? But when it's too rigid, we miss opportunities. Let me say that. And so trying to find that good balance, that healthy balance where we can be innovative without damaging kids, that's where we need to live. But getting back and specific to your question, I think it applies here is that, let's say that we are able to find, or maybe there are families that find that an online virtual education scenario is best for them. Is there a way for us to thoughtfully and appropriately provide those kids and those families access to athletic programs or other piecemeal programs of the current brick and mortar K-12 program? I think that there are. I think we need to figure out a way to get to yes. Part of the way to get to yes, though, is to recognize that our traditional funding formulas don't contemplate that scenario. And so we can't really blame educators or actually administrators of our current system when they kind of scratch their head and say, I don't know how to make this work. They're right. The system doesn't contemplate that. But that shouldn't be a reason to say no. We need to just say, oh, okay, so we found at this point in our narrative, in our history, we've arrived at a point where we need to rethink some of this. And those kids, in my opinion, those kids deserve to have access. We need to figure out a way to make that financially viable. Do I have all the answers to that? I really don't. But I know that there are educators and school districts and boards out in Wyoming that they're trying to find a right answer to this. I would love to be a thought partner with them on that and be an advocate for getting to yes.
So really, Chad, it's about those virtual students, giving them the options and trying to keep the dollars of Wyoming students in Wyoming while giving them that choice. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it is. And I think that maybe if I could just add one more thing is that education is expensive. Bottom line, yes, it does cost money. You know, it's, I wish I could tell you, and I wish we could say, oh, you know what? This mission of public education doesn't cost very much at all. That's just not reality. It does cost a lot of money, particularly when we're all in on providing a public education to every kid, which is what we do in America. It just costs money. We just need to make sure that we're doing it in a cost, you know, in making sure our schools and our options are the most effective and efficient as possible. But it's, I don't know, it's a hard enterprise, you know?
Issue, for sure.
Yeah. If you wanted to implement education, that's just no way. That's not true. What we do is we practice education. It's fluid. It's dynamic. It's a mission that's never really accomplished. It's something that's always ongoing. And, you know, I admire educators and people who get involved. School board. We were having a visit with a school board member earlier. You know, it's hard work. And none of us go into it for the money. We go into it for the mission. And I love this question. I love all these questions because this is what makes this part of American life fun, because it's a challenge and it's not easy.
It is a challenge. And my nephew would probably appreciate that because he's a virtual student and he loved to participate in all things school. So definitely the way he learned. All right, we're nearing the end, but we have a rather large question. There's several parts to it. I'm going to give you the whole question and then kind of break it down to each individual one. So the question is, how do you plan to help Wyoming schools tackle ongoing problems with, one, bullying, two, gang violence, three, teen pregnancies, and fourth, dropout rates? We'll start with the first one. How about bullying?
Yeah, this is a big question, and there's a lot of things. Let me start by saying this, is that schools, public schools particularly, are, you know, the crossroads or the intersection of our culture. Everything that's going on in our communities and in our culture shows up in our public schools, for better or for worse. You know, things like bullying and violence and, you know, dropout rates, teen pregnancy, you know, all of these things are, they're a reality. They're challenges to public education. You know, when we think about giving kids, delivering on the basket of goods or equipping them for the future, these are, you know, the things that we just listed, the bullying, et cetera. These are things that make that mission even harder. They're hurdles, they're barriers to achieving that mission. So we have to be creative as educators and as Americans, as engaged community members. So how do I, as state superintendent, envision tackling those? Again, I'm going to go back to the fact that as local communities are leaning in, school board members, educators, parents, first of all, not being in denial about these realities. We have to just recognize them and call them. But, you know, rolling up our sleeves and thinking about solutions. That's, in my opinion, part of the reason that we need to break down those silos, because those silos disempower local communities, local educators and parents and school boards on programming to combat these distractions to our mission. SROs are an important part of school safety. They particularly address gang violence, they address bullying, they help us address, I should say. In a perfect world, would we not need SROs? Yeah, of course. But you know what? This isn't Lake Wobegon. Maybe there are a few, but out there. And let me say this, if there are perfect places, they're probably in Wyoming, nowhere else. But getting back to it, we need to be creative. We need to be forward thinking. We need to be out in front of these issues. And I'm a proponent of that. And as state superintendent, I want to be a part of those conversations on how we're going to tackle these issues. And I think a key part of that is how to engage in hard conversations. We are, in my opinion, in our culture, losing the ability to have hard conversations. We get emotional. We go from 0 to 60 or more, and then pretty soon we're canceling each other. We're treating each other like enemies, as opposed to just citizens, neighbors that are trying to come together with diverse perspectives, trying to solve common problems. if we want to solve bullying and gang violence and dropout rates and all the other things, or at least make progress in removing those distractions, we're going to have to get back to working together. So as state superintendent, I intend to set that tone and to, just cultivate that. There's no place in America that can handle these things better than Wyoming, in my opinion. So I'd love to be a part of that.
So, Chad, what you're really saying is having hard, focused conversations in communities to try and tackle some of these ongoing problems. That's brilliant. Okay, so our last question, and then we'll wrap up. Do you have any plans for implementation to reward good teaching? Because there's a lot of good teaching, a lot of good practices in Wyoming. So do you have any plans to help with teacher retention in particular?
Yeah, this is a great question. And I think it's the last question, but
yes.
Even if it's not, it's still a great question. But it's a good one to end on. There's a lot. So working for Governor Gordon, one of my favorite parts of that job, in addition to having conversations about history with him, we got to tour around the state through the RIDE program, the Reimagining the Implementation of Education. I always get it wrong exactly what RIDE stands for, but it's about being innovative. We got to go around the state and see classrooms. We got to see educators, teachers, administrators, communities doing really innovative and incredible things. And you know what? We were busy. We had a lot of places to visit. There's a lot of awesome things happening in Wyoming. So to get to your question, one of the benefits of the state superintendent's job is that if you hire me to be your state superintendent, I will be able to go around the state and recognize and highlight and put on stage, literally and figuratively, the great educators that we have here. There are some, in spite of all of the challenges, Wyoming is home to incredibly innovative and effective teachers. It's enormously, I'm so proud of that. And, you know, the idea that I might be able to serve them and work for them as a state superintendent is incredibly motivating to me and inspiring to me. So as a state superintendent, this isn't about me. It's not about me, you know, being on stage or getting selfies of myself. It's about not sharing the stage, but putting those educators on the stage, recognizing them for the great work that they're doing, the creative work that they're doing, the results that they're getting. Teachers deserve to be recognized for doing a great job, for doing a hard job. And at the state level and in policy decisions and discussions, a lot of times that's lost to our own peril, in my view. So as state superintendent, I'm not going to lose sight of that. And I would hope that you folks would hold me accountable to that. I need to be highlighting and championing and recognizing great educators around the state. We have a lot of them. And also when that gets published or when that stage is seen, America, take note. America will understand that. You want to know how to do public education right? Well, you look to Wyoming because they're doing it right. And you know what? As state superintendent, I'm going to make sure that America knows.
Well, what I heard was Governor Gordon must be endorsing Chad Auer for state superintendent. Is that correct? Is that what I heard?
Well, I will let him decide that. I think, yeah.
That's what I heard.
I'll say this is that he trained me well. Let's say that.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time today. We really appreciate it, Chad, and we just appreciate you coming and sharing your thoughts and giving us a piece of what's in your mind. So thank you.
It's a great opportunity. Thank you.
Well, that was Chad Auer, one of our candidates for state superintendent of public instruction. You'll find all the information about the candidates on the website. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after the break.